went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Huntoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
I'm here with Bruce Bagan of B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're talking about making home pools and spas green.
As always, it's great speaking with you, Jimmy.
You are the exclusive pool builder that offers the IntelliPool and IntelliSpa.
Jimmy, green is about more than just energy. It's about safety and cleanliness as well.
What makes up an Intelli system?
As far as what's green, it includes a programmable IntelliFlow pump with its built-in shutoff feature that meets New York and New Jersey's requirements for new pools. We use heat pumps that reduce heating costs. We offer solar heating as well. For those people who wish to reduce or eliminate chemicals in the pool, we can install a system that makes their water virtually chemical-free.
Thanks for informing our listeners, Bruce. If you need to contact a pool professional about your pool, call B&B Pool and Spa Center, 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 800-594-2137. That's bbpoolandspa.com, 800-594-2137.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We are in Suite 404 in Building 400. The best way to get a hold of me, if you would like to communicate with me, would be to call my cell phone. Don't call my office phone, but call my cell phone at area code 845-561-2225. It is my cell phone. The area code is different than the 912. It is an 845 area code, but that is the most direct way to get a hold of me, because guess what? I will be the one answering the phone. So if you want to talk to me, if you have a question, you have a concern, you need some understanding, you need some advice, I'm happy to answer your questions. Just call me directly, 845-561-2225. If you're a little bit more like the incognito type thing and you want to communicate to me by sending an email, please don't text my cell phone. My cell phone does not receive text. It's going to be a waste of an exercise for you, because I'll never respond to it because my phone doesn't receive texts. But you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concerns that you have regarding your health. And let's face it, having health issues is not fun. Going to the medical doctor and not getting the answers that you're looking for is not fun. Being given false solutions that have side effects that lead to bigger problems down the road is not fun. It's also not the best way to help somebody get healthy. And so we want to make sure that you never fall into that category. If you're in that category and you want to get out of that category, by all means, give me a call. Come in and we will use our expertise to help you back to health. We differ from most healthcare offices as in the fact that we don't focus on treating disease and treating sickness. We actually focus on getting people healthy and keeping people healthy and never having a sickness and never getting sick at all. And the man that helps me do that each week, he's in studio with me. His name is Mark Sabin. He's a father extraordinaire. He's an interfaith minister. He's a marketer extraordinaire. He's a Tai Chi master and teacher. He's an all-around good person, and he's your patient advocate. He puts the materials together, develops the topics, develops the questions, ferrets out the answers that he thinks will benefit you, the listener, and we appreciate the work that he does, and I hope you appreciate Mark as well, and we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, once again, thank you, Doc Rick. You know, every week we get together and we're able to have these conversations about the things that you do to approach people's health in a natural way, where you're using things predominantly based on the nutritional side, on food supplements, whole foods that can actually help people restore their health. And last week we were talking specifically about that. It was a fascinating conversation because there are so many things, so many health problems that can be eradicated simply by bringing the right nutrition back into your body.
Absolutely.
Now, one of the things that you do in order to be able to discover what's going on with a person's health is you use this thing called manual muscle testing. I'd like to have a conversation about what manual muscle testing is and how it works and how it enables you to determine what's going on with your patients and what best to do in order to bring them back to health.
Well, it's interesting that you want to have a conversation about how I have a conversation with my patients.
Mm-hmm.
Because I use the tool of manual muscle testing as a way it's a form of neurofeedback. It's an accepted form of neurofeedback between the patient and their body, and it's a direct communication allowing the patient and their practitioner or myself as their practitioner to know what is working and what is being interfered with. And when the circuits of the body are open and functioning, the muscle test will result in strength of the muscle, and it's universally understood that a strong muscle test indicates balance function within that body reflex and within how the body is regulating itself. And when you get a weak result, when the arm weakens the test doesn't test strong, it indicates a corruption within the communication between the brain and the area that is being tested. And when you use this tool of manual muscle testing and it's applied to a specific system of questions or inquiries, it allows the practitioner to learn about the functional communication and the functional aspects within the person being tested. It's a fascinating tool. It's been researched quite extensively since the 1960s, and it's an accepted practice in over 250 different healthcare techniques around the world. I personally have used the tool for over 30 years, and it's allowed me to discover what appears to the uninformed as miraculous results or, you know, some kind of trickery or something along those lines. It truly is miraculous results, and it's helped me to find specific imbalances other forms of testings do not allow for the practitioners to discover. And I challenge it every day in my office, and I have for over 30 years. It's something that I bring a healthy level of skepticism to. It still fascinates me to this day, having used it for over 30 years. But the proof is in the pudding. The results speak for themselves. When you take somebody that has a health issue and you use the manual muscle testing with a specific type of questioning to ferret out the reason for why they have what they have, and when you address the why, the what that they have goes away. And I honestly could not do what I do without manual muscle testing, and I couldn't help the people that I've helped over the years without this wonderful tool.
So it's not really just an intuitive thing on your part that you're able to perceive what's going on. There's a communication that happens. Is this a communication between the subconscious mind that is really engaged with the body and now you being able to address that and basically communicate to the patient's body?
Well, realistically, it works just like a light switch. I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this in a way for the listener to get the most amount of value out of this. Okay, I had a patient in my office once who after he left the office, after we spent about 2 hours together manual muscle testing, he went home and he thought about it. And he came to the understanding for himself that he didn't trust it, he didn't understand it, he obviously didn't ask enough questions, or the answers that I gave him didn't satisfy his curiosity, etc. Mm-hmm. And he, believe it or not, Mark, he honestly thought I was in league with Lucifer.
Oh,
he actually said that.
Wow.
Where am I getting the answers from? I'm getting the answers from the person whose body I'm testing. I'm interacting with that person's body, and if we have a strong test what we would call in the clear. We're just testing a muscle, and it tests strong good. So that muscle's intact. It's working. Okay. And now we add a reflex point. We take two fingers and we touch a point on the person's chest, or let's say in their head, or let's say on their knee or what have you. And what we're doing is we're asking the nervous system to draw attention to the area that we're touching. And if the area that we're touching is not balanced, is not healthy, is not functioning the way that it's supposed to, there will be a short in the circuit, and the muscle will go from being strong to now being weak.
So the same muscle that you tested that was strong a minute ago.
Once we add the reflex in that mm-hmm. directs the brain to concentrate on where we're now touching, it's now asking, is that area functioning the way that it's supposed to? And if it is functioning normal, the test will be strong. The muscle mm-hmm. will remain strong. If there's any level of interference, if there's any level of corruption, if there's any level of malfunction, then the muscle test will result in a weakness. And it helps us to identify specifically where there's a problem. And that's the first step.
So is that, when you say you're testing a reflex, is that the same as when the doctor hits your knee with a rubber mallet and your knee responds? Is that?
It is, but it's different.
Okay.
Okay. So? It's a reflex in the sense that, yes, when you relax your leg or relax your arm
mm-hmm.
and the doctor uses that little triangular rubber mallet
right.
and bangs your elbow or bangs your knee and your arm or your leg jerks
right.
subtly.
Right.
What they're actually testing is the communication from where they tap the body
mm-hmm.
up to the spinal cord, back down to the muscle then contracting and the arm or leg moving. They're checking, is that communication working properly? So it's the same, but that specifically is just to see if the nervous system is responding to stimulus. What I'm going to do is take that and extrapolate it. I'm going to take that basic foundation, and now I'm going to apply it to the body. And when we find a weakness in, like I said, the first mm-hmm. reflex, you touch this, it's strong by itself, you'd now bring a reflex in, and now it goes weak. Now I know there's a problem where we're touching. Mm-hmm. So the person says, you know what, my shoulder aches over here, or my knee aches over here. So we cover the area that is painful, and we check, is there dysfunction there? Yes, there's dysfunction there. So good. Now we're in. Now we know there's a problem. We know where the problem is. But what we don't know yet is why.
Now, how do you know what muscle to test? I mean, we have hundreds
of
muscles.
Muscle.
Oh, it doesn't even matter.
Use any muscle. The standard muscle that is used traditionally
mm-hmm.
by all of it, because it's easiest to access, is just hold your arm out. Okay, so we're using a shoulder muscle. We're using what's called a deltoid.
The okay? top of the shoulder.
Right, and mm-hmm. if the deltoid muscle is strong, functioning the way that it's supposed to, what's known as an intact muscle,
uh-huh.
okay, and we know that that's working, well, good. We're going to use that muscle because we know it's working. We know it's normal. Now we're going to add something to the equation, which is bring in a reflex point, bring in a painful area, bring in a joint that isn't working properly, bring in a muscle spasm, whatever. We bring that in, and if there's dysfunction there,
mm-hmm.
which is obvious because it's painful or it's not doing
right.
its job,
you'd expect
you're going
to
get a weakness.
Uh-huh.
Again, that's
step
that's
one,
easy. That's
right?
low-hanging fruit. That's very easy to find.
Right.
Okay. Anybody that would even
off
just
the street could
off
do that
the street
one.
Could figure that one out.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
What we don't understand is why it's weak. So now we start to get into the real value of what it is that I do in the office. Okay?
Uh-huh. So how are you able to now? So now you
we're
want
now,
to go to step two.
Step two is we're going to add to it.
Okay.
Okay. It's like we're making a cake, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You put the flour in the bowl. Great. Flour's great. We need it. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. Good. We have the flour. But a flour isn't a cake. We got to add some stuff to it. If we want to make it into the dough that's going to become the cake, the mm-hmm. batter that's going to go into the oven, then you got to add some stuff to it. Okay, you could add some eggs, you could add some vanilla, you could add some water, you could whatever. Okay, but we want to add to the formulation of what we're doing with the patient. We want to get to the why. So there's four main reasons why somebody gets a health problem.
Mm.
Toxic heavy metals,
uh-huh.
chemical toxicity, pathogens, or nutritional deficiencies or interferences or allergies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those are your four main. Now, there's a fifth one called scars, Okay. Uh-huh. If you have a scar that's going across a meridian, it's going to change the way the meridian functions if it allows the meridian to function at all. And then that can lead to an organ gland imbalance as a result of that. But I don't typically spend a lot of time looking at scars unless I can't get results within the first four. So I use pretty much the first four in everybody. So again, we're looking at heavy metals. We're looking at chemical toxicities. We're looking at pathogens like bacteria, viruses, parasites, virons, funguses, aflatoxins, mycotoxins, virulence factors, or we're looking at foods. So a person has, for the sake of what we're talking about, we're going to use this same problem the whole time. Person has a right knee problem. We have them hold the right knee, the arm goes down. Good, we know there's a right knee problem. Now, I bring in the four other questions. We expose them to these little test vials that I have for chemicals. We have them hold that. Does that change the muscle test? If it takes the muscle test from being weak where there's a problem and now it goes strong, I know there's a relationship between the chemicals and the knee.
So if it goes strong, wouldn't that indicate that that's healthy?
Well, if you're holding the knee at the time, okay, you took the weakness and now you made it strong, that means that there's a relationship between what they're now holding and their knee.
So it's just a relationship.
There's a relationship.
You don't know what that relationship is.
I don't know what the relationship is. I just know that the chemicals are influencing the knee.
Uh-huh.
Then we'll test the heavy metals to see if it influences the knee. The pathogens, does it influence the knee? The foods, does it influence the knee? And what we'll find is maybe all four categories affect the knee. Maybe it's only one category. Then within the category, we're going to go into the specifics. Now, with the chemicals, I have 30 different chemicals that I can quickly ask. Which one of these chemicals is impacting the knee? Which one of these pathogens is it a bacteria? I got four different types of bacterial testers. I got four different parasitic. I got four different viral. I got four different funguses. I got virulent factors. I got aflatoxins. I got mycotoxins. Which one of those is impacting the knee? And it could be more than one. Which one of the foods could be impacting the knee? Which one of the heavy metals could be impacting the knee? And when I find which category, and again, it could be more than one category, and then I go within the category and I find the specifics, like I had a patient yesterday who, believe it or not, had a knee issue. And one of the things that was affecting the knee to not allow the knee to function and to heal properly was a thing called dioxins, which is a chemical. And a thing called medications. Medications that she was taking was contributing, that was one of the side effects associated with her medication, was causing her knee to have an issue. Okay.
That's a chemical toxin.
Right. So now we have a knee problem, and now we have a why they have a knee problem. We have these two ingredients that are contributing to it. Oh, good. So good. So now we use manual muscle testing, A, to locate a problem, and B, why they have the problem. And then that gets us into what the third step is now that we find what they have and why they have it, now what do we have to do to address it? Okay. So we'll ask another question. Is food related to helping this get stronger, etc.? Do we need to give them a homeopathic remedy to help them get better and stronger? Homeopathics help to detoxify pathways. So if the pathway is clogged from too much garbage and we give it a homeopath, then that will allow that channel to clear and allow things to go back to normal. Mm-hmm. Well, if a person doesn't have enough gas in their tank, then the car doesn't run. If the person doesn't have enough of the proper nutrition to support that knee joint, then the knee joint may fail when they overuse it. Okay, so we can find in the third step, well, what is it going to take in order to make that whole reflex go back to normal?
Mm-hmm.
And when we find what it's going to take to make that reflex go back to normal, it could be a food thing. It could be a mental emotional thing. It could be an allergy thing. It could be a physiological thing. It could be a structural thing, or it could be a toxicity thing. So these are all the main reasons for why somebody gets a problem and what we can do to address it. Now, those are the six main pillars, but you know and I know that there's a seventh pillar. The seventh pillar has to do with their spirituality. Okay. So I usually only deal with the first six unless somebody trusts me enough and wants to delve into the fact that this is a spiritual issue stored wrapped up in their knee. So depending upon which one of the pillars is affecting the knee, and again, it could be more than one pillar, we're going to address one pillar at a time to see which one of those is the priority. And once we're able to prioritize, let's say for this particular knee problem, it's just purely nutritional. Mm-hmm. Great. We're going to support them with the right nutrient. We're going to give them that nutrient, send them on their way. We're going to make sure that the nutrient isn't going to have side effects, mm-hmm. as we talked about earlier.
Right.
Okay. And once we know that that is going to help solve the equation and make the knee strong again, that's what we give them. We send them on their way. We have them come back in, I don't know, a week, maybe 2 weeks after they've gotten some of the nutrition in them. And when they come back, 9 times out of 10, they're like, you know what? My knee is probably 90% better. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Nutrition's still important for you to continue taking, but now let's go look at the other pillars. You didn't have an allergy affecting it. You didn't have toxicity affecting it, but you did have emotions. So now let's take a look at what it is emotionally. Well, I get frustrated. Well, knees is a place where one stores frustration. So what frustrates you? Well, this aspect of my job, but you know what? I'm leaving my job, so that may not be an issue. It's okay. Well, let's just take a look at it anyway. So we help balance the person's emotions and how they were affecting the knee, and then, you know.
Is that something you do with supplementation, or how
do
you
do? No, we do that using a specific technique called neuro-emotional technique, or NET. And when we ferret out what's affecting the person emotionally using manual muscle testing and the level of questions that we're able to ask, you know, the person is now actively involved in understanding how their emotions are affecting how their body functions physically. Mm-hmm. And then they're the ones who actually help to unwind their emotions and get to the reason why they feel that way. And then we help to bring balance to that corrupt way of thinking and looking at things. And when that goes away, then again, we've addressed another component that may be impacting how their knee functions.
So now what would happen if somebody came in? They didn't have a specific complaint that they could identify. Like, a knee pain is pretty easy to, oh, my knee hurts. And I can say, Doc, Rick, I came in, my knee's really hurting.
Right.
But I'm coming in, I don't know, my energy's just not what it used to be. I just feel more tired. Something that's vague, which
vague and non-specific, which happens, honestly, all the time.
Right?
And because the doctor says, we can't find anything wrong with you.
You know, well, when it gets worse, we'll come back.
Why do I feel like crap then? I don't think I should feel this way. Well, you're getting old. And it's, you know what? That's not an excuse, okay? I have patients that are in their 80s that are vibrant. They're in their 80s, and they're mm-hmm. vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
And I got 25-year-olds that feel like they're 80. It's like, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that picture?
You know, why do you feel 80 when you're 25 and I got 85-year-olds that feel like they're 20? What's going on there? So when, and I know this happens because, and it happens with a lot of women because women, because of their, how do I want to say this? Because women are emotional beings, mm-hmm. okay? Men are physical beings. Women mm-hmm. are emotional beings. It's just the difference between how men and women process information. Women want to talk about their feelings. Guys just want to solve problems,
mm-hmm.
okay? So let's say a woman goes to the doctor and says, you know what? I'm a little bit moody and I snapped at my husband the other day and he says, you need to go get help. So I want to get that looked at. And the doctor's like, well, there's, you know, here's some antidepressants, but there's really nothing wrong with you. There's nothing that I can put a finger on that says this, that. Well, you come to my office, and we're going to ferret out. We're going to figure out through muscle testing. We're going to ask the body a bunch of questions. We're going to ask the patient a bunch of questions, and we're going to figure out why they feel the way that they feel, what organ or gland is being impacted, what's impacting that organ or gland. They're eating something that's causing their organ to have a little bit of a dysfunction that causes them to go out of balance emotionally related to that organ, which causes them to feel emotional for some unknown reason. And we can address that.
So you can trace back from an emotional response back to a physiological response. Now, is there
or
always,
vice versa.
Right. But is there always a linkage that in that between the emotions and the physiology?
Oh, yeah. We're emotional beings, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
We're emotional beings, and how we feel emotionally affects our physiology. And what we do to stimulate our physiology stimulates and affects how we feel emotionally. Okay. When one feels depressed, it's Friday night, you don't have a date, you're sitting at home, all your girlfriends are on a date, you don't have a date, you're sitting at home, you feel depressed. What do you end up doing? Go to the refrigerator and you eat something. Okay. So you're using the food as a pacifier to help you feel better because something sweet is going to tie into your sense of self-esteem. Okay. So you feel low self-esteem because you don't have a date on a Friday night. And so you end up eating too much. And then now you have weight management issues and you don't feel attractive and you don't look attractive. And then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now you can't get a date because, and you know, I'm making light of it, but it isn't light for some people. It's very serious. It's their life. It's what goes on
sure.
in their life. And it's like, you know what? I don't want you sitting at home Friday night. I come see me on a Friday night. and let's figure out how to make your body function the way that it's supposed to so that you can have more self-confidence and you can project more self-confidence and people can be attracted to that self-confidence and you can go back and engage in life the way that you want to. But, you know, how we feel about the stress at work causes to make, you know, it's like Friday evening. Good. So thank God it's 4:55 and we're going to leave work early and we're going to go to the bar and we're going to let off a whole bunch of steam. And it's like, well, that may not be the best way to go about satisfying your sense of dissatisfaction with your job by drowning that out with you're frustrated with your job. That's a liver emotion. So you're going to go stimulate your liver with alcohol. It's probably not the best thing to do.
Was it? Is that a little bit like, you know, I have a little ache here in my body. So what do? Is I press on the point that aches. And it actually makes it hurt more, but there's something about that that hurts better.
Right. When you've overstimulated the nerve and mm-hmm. you've shut that part of that circuit in your brain off, okay, after you're done overstimulating, it is going to feel better for a little while until mm-hmm. the nerve pathway goes back to normal and then you've got that pain again and that ache within the muscle. And it's like, okay, well, what is your connection? What is your reaction to? What is your response to the fact that you have this ache in your forearm? You're thinking, wow, my forearm aches, okay? There's something wrong in my forearm, okay? I want to help you to understand what's going on within you physiologically, what's going on within you physically, what's going on within you chemically, mm-hmm. mentally, emotionally, nutritionally, toxicity-wise. I want to understand, why is that malfunctioning?
Well, it's interesting that you said that, you know, you're frustrated, frustration is related to liver, and what do is you immediately go to something that actually adds more problems or more pressure onto your liver, more stress to your liver. And just like I was saying,
but it makes it feel better in the moment.
In the moment.
I had a gentleman in last week that recently became a heroin addict. Okay. And I've had some experience helping heroin addicts. And so mm-hmm. he came in and we were talking a little bit about how he ended up reaching for heroin. And we helped him to trace back to, well, what was going on in your life that made you think that heroin was a good solution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we got into his emotional reality about what's what. And he helped me appreciate that somebody came along and somebody, you know, offered him, you know, I can see that you got this, that, and the other thing going on. I got something that will help you feel better. And at that point, he was so caved in by what's what, he was like, you know, as far as he was concerned, God sent this person to him to offer him this solution. And that came out in our conversation. And I was like, well, do you really think God sent somebody to have you do heroin? You know, it's like, well, maybe God didn't send him. But at the time, I wasn't thinking rationally. And I thought this was a good solution for me. And so I helped him understand the source of his thought process that ultimately led him to lead to choose heroin as a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And when we unround the source of it, I mean, I'll find out next week when I see him, I'll find out, you know, where you at and
right.
Have you had a relapse? Have you? I told you to call me if you felt like you were going to do heroin again. He still hasn't called me, so my hope is that he hasn't done that.
Mm-hmm.
My hope is also that I didn't scare him away and that he's not coming back to me because maybe he really wants to do the heroin. I don't know, but at the end of the day, when you address the reason for why you're feeling a way that you're feeling, then how you're feeling goes away.
Mm-hmm. It's got to change.
And muscle testing helps me to pretty much laser beam focus into the source of a person's problem within a few questions of testing.
Wow. That's fascinating. This is a great conversation, Dr. Rick. I have a lot more questions to ask you about manual muscle testing, but before we do, we need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, let's get back into this conversation.
Absolutely. I appreciate you, the listener, and we want you to tune back in right after this short commercial break, and thank you.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
You've been going to the doctor for years. They order you blood work, give you a pill to cover up your symptom, and send you on your way. The side effects to that medication could not only be dangerous, but life-threatening, and what you don't know can kill you. I'm Dr. Richard Huntoon of the Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. For all the latest on improving your health, I'm here to answer any questions in helping you towards a healthier life. Call Advanced Alternative Medicine Center at 561-2225 or go to spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. And we appreciate your listenership. And today, Mark and I have been discussing a wonderful tool that I use in my office that, you know, sometimes people have difficulty understanding, which is why we're having this conversation. And it's called Manual Muscle Testing. And again, it's been used by over 250 different healing modalities and has been used since the 1960s.
Yeah, I was first introduced to myself back in the mid-70s and was a book by a doctor, Dr. Goodhart, that it first introduced it. And I don't have anywhere near the kind of understanding of it that you do, but it was immediately evident that it was a fascinating thing to work with and had immediate results for with people.
Right. And Dr. George Goodhart was a wonderful, wonderful human being. He was a mentor of mine. I got the opportunity to study with him and learn with him and sit beside him and have him work on me and ask him questions. And he was just a wonderful man, and he was a wonderful teacher. And when he got back from being in the war, he went into private practice with his dad. His dad had been practicing for a while, so he joined his dad's practice. And over the course of time, he was noticing relationships between muscle weaknesses and muscle imbalances and different organs, etc. And he started developing this tool, which eventually evolved into manual muscle testing. And since the early to mid-60s, he introduced this to the world. And, you know, it's been around since then, and it's been researched like you couldn't possibly believe, because, you know, obviously there are naysayers out there that want to show the ineffectiveness of it or the quackery of it or whatever. And you can go on the internet and you can find lots of stories that say that this is quackery and it doesn't work, this, that, and the other thing. But that's just ignorance trying to sound like they're the ones who are smart. This has been scientifically researched, Mark. They have been
blind studies,
double blind test studies. Mm-hmm. They've spent lots of money and lots of time and lots of energy and effort in an effort to validate that manual muscle testing is a valid tool. When I was in chiropractic school, I was involved in an experiment that related to muscle testing. And I was one of the quote test subjects that they used. And so I know the kind of research that has been done because I participated in the research. And for anybody that says it doesn't work and it's not valid and it's quackery and all of that kind of stuff, that's just ignorance on their part, because this has been ferreted out scientifically for a number of years. And it's, like I said, it's used by over 250 healthcare disciplines. And I couldn't do the things that I do if it wasn't for the great Dr. George Goodhart. So I always want to pay homage to him. And I always tell my patients, there's a picture of him in my office with him where I do my evaluations. And I always point to the picture and I'm like, I couldn't do any of what I do without this great man. And it's
amazing. And he also related it to the Chinese meridians that you have in acupuncture.
Yes. And what he did was he saw the relationships to where he could tap into meridians using manual muscle testing and help to influence the meridian function by using manual muscle testing instead of using needles. And that became one of the pieces that he ultimately put together into his technique, which is, it uses muscle testing, but the technique itself is called applied kinesiology. And the challenge is that the uninformed, the uneducated, the people who don't necessarily know the whole story, they will see somebody doing muscle testing, which is also called kinesiology, and they'll mistakenly think that they're doing Dr. Goodhart's work of applied kinesiology. Applied kinesiology is a very specific way of using muscle testing. It's a form of using muscle testing, and the muscle testing is just one of the tools within applied kinesiology to help diagnose and ferret out a person's problem. And there's, like I said, 250 other ways to apply muscle testing, which doesn't make it applied kinesiology. It just, you're using the kinesiology to use their particular system.
And you use it for
a TBM or like an NET or like a nutritional response testing or neuromodulation technique or contact reflex analysis. I mean, these are all different techniques that use manual muscle testing as the bridge to help ask the body questions.
Yeah, I mean, there's the asking the body questions about what's wrong with the body, and then there's also this the flip side of it, which is you ask the body, what does it need?
What is the solution in order to get rid of the imbalance in the body?
So you mentioned there's all this science behind it. How did that science come together?
There's the science people. The people who know how to do a double-blind test study and develop a test study that's going to allow them to assess the validity, the function, the validity of the tool itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were in school, we were using pressure plates and these kinds of things to see if the manual muscle testing was duplicatable. You know, it's interesting because the uninformed who are may even be scientifically based will just think that one size fits all and everybody should test the same. Well, everybody doesn't test the same, and we're well aware of that with medication because not everybody reacts the same to the same medication.
Right.
Okay. So when you try to do a double-blind test study on muscle testing, when you're testing a specific query, if you will, or a specific question, okay, because everybody's physiology is different, you won't necessarily always get the same result, okay? So when you ask somebody, there's a question that we can ask somebody if this particular food is going to create a problem for them. And I do that in my office every day. And they test strong. The mm-hmm. answer to that is no, the food isn't going to affect them. But bring somebody else in and I can ask them the same question and they'll get a weakness. And the answer is yes, for that person, they have an imbalance. But for the first person, that they don't. So it helps us to ferret out the difference between one person versus another so that we have individual care specific to the individual as opposed to a one-size cookie cutter, everybody gets the same thing kind of thing.
Right, and we are all individuals.
Right.
So I wonder about the accuracy of the manual muscle testing. It would seem that you're generally testing the muscle for strength or weakness.
Mm-hmm.
There could be a wide range of how weak it gets or how strong it is.
So oh, sure.
So how do you deal with the accuracy of this?
Well, at the end of the day, I've been manual muscle testing for over 30 years, so I've developed quite a sensitive ability mm-hmm. to differentiate between a subtle weakness versus an absolute weakness,
mm-hmm.
okay? And part of the dance that I do with my patients is we go through that dance for a period of time and just get them used to the amount of resistance that they need in order for us to get an accurate response. And once I've ferreted out a level of agreement between me and my patient, okay, well, then we can go about looking at specific reflexes or testing them with specific of those four main categories mm-hmm. of testers, whether they're chemicals, heavy mm-hmm. metals, pathogens, or nutritional issues. Once we've made sure that the patient is comfortable with the muscle testing itself, mm-hmm. okay, then we're going to get into seeing what's working and what's not working, where it's affecting them, why it's affecting them, et cetera. But we have to establish the right foundation to do what one of my mentors says, to do the dance. Every dance partner you dance with is different, and you have to establish that dancing communication in mm-hmm. order to excel at what's what. And we see that on Dancing with the Stars. There are some people who just move together fluidly, and then there are some couples that, you know what, they're a little bit more awkward. Why? Because they're not synergistically aligned in the process. And so manual muscle testing is the exact same thing. So we want to make sure that we help a person understand what a strong response is, what a weak mm-hmm. response is. We don't want them to try to hold it strong when it's going to be weak. It's funny, when I've muscle tested my dad for over 30 years, and he's just the type of person where he just doesn't want there to be any weakness. So he will try to muscle his way to it being strong because he doesn't want anything to be wrong with him and show up as a weakness. And I'm like, Dad, it's like a light switch. If the circuit's on, you'll be strong. If mm-hmm. the circuit's interfered with, your muscle's just going to go weak. Let it go weak. Don't blow your shoulder out just to try to prove a point that you're strong. It has nothing to do with strength. It has to do with asking, is the circuit working or is the circuit not? And if it's connected, it will test strong. If it's not connected, it's not a thing about power.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a thing about strength. It's just a question of if we check a circuit and that circuit is malfunctioning, the muscle should weaken. But when ego of the patient tries to get involved because they don't want it to be weak, they can try to will that to be strong. Okay? Now you're just hurting their shoulder. We don't want to hurt their shoulder.
So these are some of the things that you as a seasoned practitioner.
These are the subtle nuances that you have to know how to work with. And, and you know, I send out a letter every Christmas Eve about how manual muscle testing is like religion. Okay, and there's four levels to manual muscle testing, and there's probably a fifth, and I'm starting to move into the fifth level, but there's four different differentiations that I've definitely identified. When you first start doing a manual muscle testing, you want to duplicate what your instructor has shown you, and you can get good results because you don't have any resistance. You're just open, and you're just trying to learn. So you're going to get good results, and you're going to duplicate what your instructor told you. But then you get away from your instructor, and now you start to think falsely, you have your ego come into it, and you think, I got this tool, and now I know what the hell I'm talking about. So I can go muscle test, and I know what the answer is going to be. It's like I'm a fortune teller with muscle testing. Well, your ego is always going to get checked, okay? You're going to find that what you thought was true isn't true all the time with every person. So now you're going to think that it doesn't work, okay? Then you get into the third phase where you realize you don't know anything, okay? And now you just want to get your ego out of the way to start getting results. And then you get into the fourth phase, which is where, you know what, has nothing to do with you. It's not about you. It's about the person you're trying to help. Get out of the way and just let their body talk to you. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because that's one of the techniques I do is called body talk. And you're just letting the body talk to you and tell you what its problem is. And when you allow it to tell you what your problem is, rather than you trying to think that you know what the person's problem is, when you allow the body to tell you and you do what the body says and you get the heck out of the way, which is what the great late great Viktor Frankl used to say, ask the body, do what the body says, get the hell out of the way and watch miracles happen. Miracles happen every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful. And it's so empowering, and the patient gets excited, and then they get actively involved in their care, and they get actively interested in understanding, well, how can I make this strong all the time? What do I have to do? And they're now inspired to follow through with care, which is different when you go to a medical doctor.
Totally different.
And it's so exciting, it's so empowering, it's so life-affirming, and it's, you know, I say that, you know what? God gave me this tool. God gave me the knowledge to understand it. God gave me the knowledge to teach others. God gave me the knowledge to practice it. And I'll be the first to tell you, God helps me do all the healing that I help with all my patients, and God does the healing.
Yeah, well, that's always true. That's always true. You got to get out of the way to let the healing. And that's such an important difference between the way that you approach healthcare, which is to empower people to take control of their own health, versus going to the doctor as God, where the doctor is totally in control and you give up all your power to the doctor and it's a matter of trust and put your faith in their abilities and then see what happens.
And it's interesting that you're saying that the patient needs to give up control.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I, as the practitioner, the fifth level of muscle testing is me giving up total control and allowing the divineness, the inner, the divine intervention, the God quality to come through me as a facilitator. And to enter into the interaction between me and my patient.
Mm-hmm.
And God is the one that's doing the healing. God is the one that's showing up. God is the one that's all part of that experience. And it is a God-given experience going on during that interaction.
That you're just getting
and
out of the way.
And if they can take that aspect of God home with them and get better, and if I can take that aspect of God in the experience with me and go on to the next person, then God is in my practice helping me facilitate healing. God is in their body helping them to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's no place God is not.
That's right.
We just have to get out of the way and allow it to happen.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's our free will, is to get in the way.
Exactly.
Well, this is a great conversation.
If you want to get in the way, go right ahead, but it's going to create difficulties. Just get the heck out of the way.
Get the heck out of the way. Well, before we get on with this conversation, we need to take another short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. And then we'll get back and a little more conversation about manual muscle testing.
Absolutely. But please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. And I really appreciate you, the listener, for tuning in today.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worry you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We're located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. If you want to get a hold of me, the best way is to call my cell phone directly at area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Please don't text that phone because I don't receive texts and I'll never get back to you. Just leave a message and I will call you back. Today, Mark and I have been talking about this wonderful tool called manual muscle testing and the ways that I use it in my office to help all my patients and to facilitate the divine intervention of God helping people heal.
And, you know, it's interesting in some of the reading that I've done about manual muscle testing and this whole notion is that they're not, it's, you use it specifically to help people with their health.
Right.
But there are other people who use it for other purposes. And one of the books that I read that relates to my work teaching Tai Chi is a book called Power Versus Force.
Right.
And
great
I'm
book.
Sure you, I'm sure you know
great
that book,
book
well. It's a great book. And he talks a lot about the spiritual dimension of what you can tell with muscle testing and how you can actually register things that people have no idea. You know, you could have something hidden in an envelope and test somebody will go weak or strong depending on what's inside the envelope that
right.
they have and, no way
and,
of
And he
telling.
Tests audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And he tests people within audiences while he's up on stage.
Uh-huh.
And he demonstrates how manual muscle testing works and helps him to find things out. Now, again, wonderful, wonderful book, Power Versus Force.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who wants to learn a little bit about manual muscle testing, that's a good book. It's a pretty technical book. If you want to read a basic book that talks about manual muscle testing, it's called Energy Medicine by Donna Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a blue spine with orange, bright orange lettering on the back, and it's called Energy Medicine. And again, the woman who wrote it, her name is Donna Eden. And it gets into understanding the basics of manual muscle testing. But yeah, there's lots of literature out there, and there's lots of different applications of manual muscle testing. And yeah, I think that it's a wonderful tool that can be used for health purposes. And you know, based on the gentleman who wrote the Power Versus Force, he's using it in different arenas. And again, that's all good and fine.
Yeah, no. What's so interesting to me about the notion that of the title of the book is that power is something that's intrinsic. And when you tap in from a healing standpoint of allowing the body's own powers to begin to resume to that journey back to health is really different than what medicine will do when it tries to force you into this health. So there's
right.
an effort. We were talking earlier about the ego and how much the ego gets in the way of us being able to get the results that we're after because
correct.
It tries to force things in a certain way.
Right.
It's not about finding and cultivating the power that's naturally there.
And that's a distinction that's important for the listener to understand, that medicine has a response that is either a pushing response
mm-hmm.
or a pulling response, and that speaks to the forcing something to do something.
Right.
As opposed to the power to allow it to happen the way that it's supposed to happen.
Right.
And yeah, it's a great point.
I mean, I think that everything that you know, you can analyze very various different aspects about a person, But when you use the information that you get to find a treatment modality that you're going to use, whether it's nutrition or homeopathic or some of the other kinds of things that you do, you know, as chiropractor, you help people put their bodies back into alignment, things like that. All those things are about facilitating the body's own ability to heal. As you said, it's about allowing God to do the healing.
Right.
This is really a really key component of what this is about. So when you see a new patient and they come into the office, they've never seen you before, they're curious about what you're doing, but they're probably have a certain level of skepticism about what this process is and how you work. How do you deal with somebody that first time to begin to bring them into an appreciation that maybe what you have to offer is something of value to them?
Well, the wonderful thing about it is I go through a process of explaining to them what we're going to do before we do it. Mm-hmm. And I show them diagrammatically what's going to happen. I draw a diagram so that they can follow along with what it is that I'm talking about while I'm talking about it. And we go through that, and there's an unwritten rule in my office that I mention every time a new patient sits in front of me. If I say anything that you don't understand, it's your job to stop me. At this point in my career, I'm pretty intuitive, but I don't read minds. So if you have an issue with what I'm saying, please stop me. Let's talk about it, because mm-hmm. the only way that we're going to go from a place of where you are to a place better is you actually have to come with me. And in order for you to come with me, you actually have to agree with what I'm saying. So if I get agreement from you that you're going to stop me if I say anything you don't understand, and then I explain how energy works and how we're going to use this tool of muscle testing, and I show you what a strong response is, what a weak response is, and I help you understand how that works energetically, and I've explained that to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've asked you if you have any questions and you're ready for us to go forward. It's like what happened with my last new patient. I said, this is going to be fun because you've never experienced any of this. You've never even heard of it. Okay, so you're a blank canvas. And I'm going to show you something about yourself that's going to blow your mind. Mm-hmm. And the first time I muscle test somebody and I tap into their polarity reflex and I show them that I can turn their muscle strength off instantaneously, and their arm goes weak in spite of their best efforts, it's always fascinating to see the level of surprise and wonder that comes over their face. And once we do that several different times and they start to get comfortable with the concept of what we're looking for and what's a strong muscle, what's a weak mm-hmm. muscle, and it's not about force, it's not about anything other than just if it's strong, let it stay strong, and I'm going to indicate your body's going to respond in a way that shows me that it's strong, and I'm going to back off. And when it's weak, you're going to think that I'm really pressing hard, and I'll use one finger and your arm will go down, because it's not about strength at all. It's just the question, is the circuit open or closed?
I think what's really important to appreciate about what you just said is that some people will determine that it's you that turned the muscle off. It's not. It's that by touching that person, it's their body turning that off. It's not, I mean, you mentioned this.
It's the electrical circuitry.
Correct.
If the circuit's open, it will test strong. If the circuit's being interfered with in mm-hmm. their body, where we're highlighting by mm-hmm. touching a specific circuit mm-hmm. access point.
Mm-hmm. It's like unplugging the toaster. Right. It's not going to work.
Or going to a light switch and turning it on, but the bulb isn't functional, and so the light doesn't go on, and you're like, well, there's something there. Well, let's replace the bulb, and if the bulb still doesn't turn on, well, then we know it's in the wiring, and then we have to call an electrician.
This is,
well,
yeah.
I'm an electrician for the human body. Mm-hmm. And I've used that as an analogy, okay? I'm going to go to your main circuit board and find out which one of your circuits on your fuse box are blown. And I'm going to help you reconnect those circuits and support those circuits to do their job through nutrition or through homeopathy or through getting rid of the allergy or mm-hmm. getting the emotion out of the way or altering the physiology, whatever it happens to be, to make all the circuits in your circuit board all functioning at their highest level possible.
Right, but the electricity is in your body. It's not, you're not making the electricity.
No, we're energetic beings.
Exactly. Well, this has been a great conversation, Dr. Rick. We are out of time for today's show. I'm looking forward to speaking to you next week, because every week we get to cover some great topics, and this has been really great talking to you.
Well, I appreciate you choosing the topic and asking the questions that you ask, and I'm glad that we could learn some things and help create some clarity for the listener. I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. I really appreciate your listenership. You make me feel good about what it is that I do and the fact that we do this show. And I want to ask you to tune back in next week, same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Untun from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will? Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.